Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I am your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and we are back for a brand new season after the bitter disappointment and turmoil of last season. We're back with new hope. Hopefully some optimism is going to come out of this podcast tonight. We shall see. But I'm joined by the best panel of the season so far. First up, Christopher Somani. Hello.
Oi, hello. It's good to be back. Don't know if we're back with a bang yet, but we're back. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully we're off to a good start. I'm also joined by Eddie Walsh. Eddie, hello.
Hey, Louis. Good to be back and good to see everyone's faces. Let's get into it.
Yeah, some good faces on display for us. And also the very handsome, charming Christopher Bowd.
Oh, hello, hello. How are you doing, Louis?
Hello, are you sticking with that this year, Bowd?
We'll see, won't we? I mean, this was the first big test and it's landed, so going to do my best to make sure we're off to a terrible start, Louis, just to keep that in mind.
It just rolls off the tongue now. That's it. But I think you should keep it up. Listen, it's a new era for Celtic since the last time we spoke. We have a new manager, a new CEO, a new captain, a new team, essentially. We've got a lot to discuss tonight. We're gonna start off by talking about Ange Postecoglou, because the last time we recorded the weekly, I think we were just really reacting to the news that Eddie Howe wasn't going to be the manager, and I don't think it had been confirmed that Ange Postecoglou was the man for the job. I just thought it would be good, from what we've seen so far and what you've listened to Ange say and how you've seen him set up his teams during pre-season. What's your opinion of him so far, Somani? How is he? Has he impressed you so far?
He couldn't fail to impress me, given what came before him. That was a classic negative answer there, but anyway, I'll kind of expand a bit. It was so bad that I think that a change was good enough just for us. Do you know what I mean? But
it's good. Obviously,
it's good as a holiday, as the old saying goes. But I think the jury's very much out. I'd rather just say, that first press conference when he came in, and I think everybody was kind of won round by the way he sounded. I don't know why some people thought he was going to come in and sound like Ted Lasso or something like that. I'm not sure, but certainly the way he spoke, he seemed very self-confident, and the way he talked about the sort of football he wants to play, that kind of chimes with us as a support, because we like attacking football. And then obviously we had his first test was the Michelin game. And, you know, despite the fact individual errors cost us yet again, there was enough there in an attacking sense in terms of developing his own style that you went, OK, that's a good start. You know, it could have been, we're maybe fearing it could be a lot worse. And then we get the one each drawn. You know, I was quite pleased with that. Even though it was a friendly on Saturday, I think when the opposition was stepped up a wee bit, it highlighted our fragilities. So I suppose where I am with him just now is, one, I'm wanting to give him a chance. I don't know if he's good enough, but my main concern is the board put their money where their mouth is and back him. So I'm right behind Ange, totally behind him just now, but I wouldn't like to say one way or another how I think he's going to go, because he is still an unknown quantity, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I think overall, though, the general feeling is a lot of positivity towards Ange, which maybe there wasn't initially. But as people have got to know him and heard him speak and things like that, I mean, it very, very much feels to me, Eddie, like Ange at this point can do no wrong in the sense that he's not really being blamed for anything. Any sort of negativity, maybe the game at the weekend there against West Ham, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about or at least mention. You know, it wasn't really, the criticism wasn't aimed at him. It was aimed at the board and not backing him and the players that he's got at his disposal. When do you think that's going to change, and how has he impressed you so far?
Man, that's a tough one. I think Sir Matty put it pretty well, just saying, you know, the change itself did us good. I think the initial anger and kind of like, who the heck is this guy, was more so of, you know, learning that we weren't going to get a guy that we've been told for however many months that, you know, it was almost nailed on that we were going to get. So it was more reacting to that. And again, that was kind of anger towards the board as well. So I think it's going to take a while. I think with the games that have been played already, like Sermani said, there's a lot of positives, mainly like in the attacking area, midfield area, some really nice stuff being played at times. But, you know, I think it's going to take a while for players to kind of catch on to, you know, how he wants to play, and then also getting in the players that he wants to be able to, you know, replicate that on the field. I think there are a lot of players maybe right now that are taking part that we, you know, we might be seeing against what we want, I guess, this season, you know, players that you wouldn't have thought that might have played a role, playing a role. So that's going to be a tough thing for him to kind of navigate through. But I think with things that have come out recently about, you know, how the board are operating and just how slow we are with transfers, it's, you know, I mean, we all kind of know what's really going on for the most part, you know, just from things we've read and whatnot. But I think even the way Ange is, you know, his candor as far as like reacting to questions like that about transfers or whatnot, he's very transparent. He's very honest. He's very, you know, forthright and blunt. I think, you know, that's definitely something that stands out as something completely different, obviously, from last season, and something that's, you know, much needed right now. So I think it's going to take some time, but yeah, there's definitely positives there. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, both. I mean, both the guys have mentioned the kind of contrast between Ange and Lennon and his approach and how we saw maybe him and to an extent John Kennedy when he took over their kind of approaches to things. What are the main kind of differences you've noticed so far, whether it be a bigger emphasis maybe on tactics or even just how he handles himself in the media? What would you, is there anything there that's given you kind of renewed confidence?
Yeah, I mean, all of it. You mentioned Eddie Howe before. It's Eddie Howe. Eddie bloody who, Louis.
Eddie the Dick.
Well, that as well. But no, Ange, our Eddie there was just talking about how he is with the press, and I think that's fantastic. He is. He's forthright. He's honest. Calls a spade a spade. He's a real man. But I have been really impressed with him in all his interviews, with the exception of maybe the Griffith stuff, which is just horrendous. I don't know if we're going to talk about that later, but I think you can see, again, we're seeing players who last season weren't doing it, that, and we've had one competitive game and, you know, some friendlies, but we're seeing players like Christie. I mean, Christie's of this preseason is one of the best players in that side, I would say. And I think a big part of that's, you know, a manager telling him what to do and giving him clear instructions. McGregor, again, another star. We've seen these players' games improve. And we've, hopefully what we'll see is again, as we get more of, you know, Ange ball, our players pressing, we're going to see maybe the wingers pushing up a bit more as the fullbacks kind of come in and create that space for them. But he's talked about fitness, and I think it's, you know, there was all that talk about Ronnie and getting rid of the ketchup and getting rid of the chips and the Coke, and it seems like that may be set back in again, because again, and just having to talk about how the players aren't where they should be and aren't fit enough. And I think that's another hangover from the failings of Lennon. I don't want to turn this into just going on and on about last season, but yeah, I think that's an improvement we're hopefully going to see.
So just to get back to the point you made, I mean, Louis, he's going to get enough time until the fans think that it's his team, I would say, because it's quite clear that he's not got the personnel in he wants yet. There's an acceptance from the fan base that the board are an absolute shit show, that the whole we're getting a director of football didn't happen. We chased Eddie Howe for months and that didn't happen. The squad is threadbare. We lost Folk and loan, we never replaced them, we never prepared for what was coming in. There's an acceptance that Celtic right now are an absolute shambles. So Ange is going to benefit from an understanding more widely in the Celtic support that that's the case. That's not going to last long though, once he's bedded in his own team. See, even if we don't hit the ground running and we don't win a lot of games right away, and that might happen, I still think you know, some of the more level-headed supporters will understand that, you know, he needs time to bed in his system and he needs time to get his own players in. Some people will just go off in one. That might be me in the first game, but, you know, I think we're all reactionary to a certain extent, but that's what he's got going for him just now. That'll only last to a certain point, then he needs to start delivering.
I think he does maybe get more time than you would expect just from, you know, even let's say we had kept Dyer and we had kept Eddie, we still needed a lot of players to come in. So you throw in the fact we're losing those two, what were our best players. Yeah, I think he's got a huge amount of leeway with the fan base relatively, just because we all know what a shit show it is behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a very different season as well compared to last. I mean, the pressures and expectancy of last season because of what we're trying to achieve probably took it up a notch as well. I think, in, you know, some things that have impressed me, and again, they probably contrast with what we've had, what we've not had in the past recently, is, you know, he seems to be a guy that won't leave any stone unturned in trying to make us better. He's talked about a kind of holistic approach to things. It's not just about the players on the pitch, but the infrastructure around them, and you spoke about analytics and all that sort of side of things, and the science department and all that sort of thing. I think there's, and you can also see, you know, he's clearly had an influence tactically and stylistically on the team already in a very short space of time. Whether okay, it's maybe just something like the inverting the fullbacks, but you can kind of get a clear sense of what he's trying to do, which you couldn't probably say last year. So already in a matter of a few preseason games and one competitive fixture, we can see something and we kind of know what road we're going down. It's whether they can build on it with the right players, somebody.
Low bar, that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
See, when you see somebody giving the team tactical instruction, that's an improvement. So
yeah.
And that's not me, that's genuinely not me being negative about Ange, that's me being realistic about where we are as a football club just now.
Yeah, but we're heading in the right direction, hopefully. We've had, obviously, the pre-season games. We had Sheffield Wednesday, Bristol City, Preston, and then the West Ham game at the weekend there. We were obviously away on the training camp in Wales. We've seen a lot of players, you know, I think everybody's mentioned it. The squad is threadbare. A lot of our show tonight is probably going to be focused on the squad, so we'll talk about that overall shortly. But we saw a lot of youngsters playing in these games in pre-season. On pre-season, on the games that we've had so far, we're obviously going to focus on Mitchell and a wee bit later on, but has anybody particularly stood out? Eddie, I know you mentioned earlier, you know, that you're maybe seeing players that you didn't think were going to get a chance. For me personally, I know he didn't have the best of games against West Ham at the weekend, but somebody like Dane Murray, who I knew absolutely nothing about going into this pre-season, I'll be honest with you, I've been really impressed with him. I thought, you know, in the games that he played, even the Michelin game when he came on, he looked really assured and confident young player. So he was one. Obviously we had young Moffat as well, who the winger who looked good, although he's, I think, with the B team now. Is there anybody that stood out for you, Eddie, so far that I've not mentioned that you're kind of looking forward to seeing now?
Yeah, I think Montgomery in the first couple of games, Hilda Shaw. I think as far as like being deserve of a chance, it's kind of hard to tell because I feel like none of them are really close to the first team. I think a lot of the players, like you said, I don't think a lot of us knew about any of these guys for the most part. So a lot of it was mostly a surprise, but I think, you know, a lot of it was very pleasant. But I do think I don't see that many players outside of maybe necessity kind of breaking into that first team. But I do like the look of you know, Shaw in particular, probably looks one of the more comfortable players. Murray as well, but also I would say kind of Welsh has looked a little bit better as well and more assured, maybe a little bit more mature. As far as first team goes, like Christie, Calmax, Sorrow, I think a lot of those players have showed, you know, some really good play in the first couple of games. So yeah, it is, you know, it is promising. And I think especially in the the Wednesday game, Sheffield Wednesday, you really saw that kind of like quick progressive passing, movement of players, pressing. There was a lot of like really, really attractive stuff going on. But it's kind of hard to really, I guess, judge because, you know, we were playing with a lot of players that might not have an impact on the first team. So it's, you know, there definitely are some positives and some players that I had no clue about that really do. And some players that you've heard about then that you're actually finally seeing. So, yeah, there's definitely some good looking talent there. And I think, you know, hopefully they could get some sort of minutes, whether it's with the B team or ours this season.
Yeah, we've obviously bowed. We've lost the likes of Scott Brown, obviously, massive figure on and off the pitch. And, you know, I think we all grew tired of the debate about whether he should start or whether Sorrow should get a chance and all that sort of thing. Sorrow plays now, you know, and that was one thing that kind of occurred to me when I was watching one of the games. I was like, oh, we didn't have the big debate about if Scott Brown was going to start. You know what I mean? It's just nice to see some of these players just given the opportunity. Is there anybody that is particularly impressed? And what have you made of how we've gone about things, like how we actually have played, again, going back to the style that he's trying to implement?
Yeah, players-wise, I mean, Eddie just literally read the list of players that I had written down, so in total agreement with him. Again, I think a lot of the youngsters, though, are not, you know, they're not quite there. I would say Liam Shaw. I think Liam Shaw is somebody who, throughout this season, we could see more of. I think he's closer than the likes of than Helder, Moffitt as well. I don't know if Eddie mentioned Moffitt, but he looked very exciting. But again, you know, he's got a year in the development squad at least to go before he starts thinking about trying to push his way into the squad, I would say. Welsh, again, as Eddie mentioned, I think has, and obviously the game against West Ham wasn't fantastic and he's had a couple of little slip-ups, but I think there has been we've seen him grow even over the space of the half dozen games we've had over pre-season. What was your other question? Sorry, Louis, I've completely blanked there.
Just about the kind of way we've played and the style that he's trying to implement, are you encouraged by it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. It's exciting to watch. I think we can all see it's not there and it's not going to be there immediately. Not only is it going to just take time, naturally, for the players and the team to get used to and learn that and for it to become second nature, and throw in the fact that I think we can all agree, you know, we're a good number of players short of what you would hope is our first team. You know, there's a number of positions there that we really need to shore up and not just backup, but we need first team players in there. So again, as we get more either experienced heads or just better players in, we'll hopefully start to see that Ange Ball take shape even more. But it's been exciting. You can see bits of what he wants to do. You can see the players trying for him. You can see the players working for each other. It's going to take time, and hopefully we've got enough time to actually pump the Huns.
All right. Samani, I mean, Boud mentions their buy-in for the players. I think it's quite clear he has got the buy-in from the majority of players, certainly the younger ones, obviously, because it's been a fantastic opportunity for them. Okay, they're in there because we need them there, because we don't have anybody else, but there's a few of them that are clearly taking it all on board and really trying to, you know, force their way into the picture for this season. Have you been impressed so far?
I think the attitude, not so much for the youngsters, because obviously when you're young and you're coming through, you're going to be excited to take your opportunity anyway. But some of the more established players seem to have established themselves as important players again, if you will. Like McGregor was criticised last season for his form, but certainly so far he seems to be, you can't say back to his old self yet because you don't know, but he certainly seems heading in that direction. Christie's the real one. Christie, for me, is a guy who, myself included, would be happy never to see him again in terms of what he's done. But you can all, it's almost like, I mean, Ange just talked about him and spoke about him being a player that he would like to keep and like to develop. And I think if we can blank last season out of our minds and we go back to the season before or even the season before that, that Christie is a player that we would all like would be a huge asset to the football club. So going back to the friendlies, although he didn't play in the Michelin game, guys like Ajeti, you know, if he can get some of the more established players or that cost us a bit of money and make them into football players, that's what I'm more excited about as well. Because see if the guys like Christie and McGregor and Ajeti and even Eddie, if he's going to be here, see if none of these guys perform, then the rebuild task's even bigger for us. So if he's going to get them buying into it, that's really, really important for me too. He can't make a silk purse out of a pig's ear with everybody, podcast, but hopefully he can do that with some of the players, and the early signs are fairly encouraging.
Oh yes, Barkey, let's get to the squad then. This is probably where most of our opinions are going to come from. Today we were linked with five players alone from different news sources and things like that. Players that have left so far, Ayer has obviously got his move to mighty Brentford. Congratulations to him for filling the childhood dreams there. Bio has also left, Jack Hendry, Scott Brown obviously, and Marien Schved. We would expect more. Obviously, Eddie has been linked today, supposedly with a £18.5 million bid from Brighton. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition or not. But there could be other ones, obviously, Christie as well, which I think we'll come on to. Players that we've signed, obviously, Liam Shaw, Irigidi, Abada, which we haven't spoke about yet, but we'll definitely speak about him. Starfelt, the centre-half from Sweden, who has just today been kind of officially announced because he, I assume, is coming out of isolation shortly, because he looks as if he's going to be in the squad for the weekend. And then probably the most exciting one, Furuhashi, who is a striker / left winger from Japan, which I think, you know, we've not seen him here yet because obviously he's isolating in London. I thought that was really good today. I watched the media press conferences with Ange and Cal McGregor, and Cal McGregor said that he's kind of noted it down to phone Starfelt and Furuhashi today to check in with them and things, obviously taking on his role as the captain now, which I thought was a nice touch. Players in, players out, highlights for you, Somani?
Players in, I think you touched on Abada, and I think it would be remiss not to speak about him. Young guy, I mean, I think the Cynic Poindexter report said that he was maybe not first team ready. Then he came in and obviously got his first goal for us, which was a really nice finish. He looks an exciting player. He looks like a player who I would agree might need a bit of work because, you know, in terms of his decision making and all that sort of stuff. But early signs, you're thinking, you know, that could be a player. And I can't remember what pod it was on. It might have been Barry on the reaction with myself after the Michelin game where he talked about him. He actually looks like a right-sided forward as opposed to a winger, if you know what I mean. And I think that's important or key for Ange's system, because what you don't want to start doing is kind of putting players who aren't quite natural to the position into those positions and things like that. So I think if we're going to play that three up front, I think he'll be key for that. In terms of the players out, you touched on Ayer. Ayer will be a miss. Of course he'll be a miss. But he made it clear he didn't want to be here. And, you know, he's away to Brentford and good luck to him, you know. But, you know, let's state that again for the record. See, if you don't want to be here, please go, you know. As much as, you know, there's obviously caveats around that because the club need to get what they believe to be top value for you. And I think they did well to get the money they did for Ayer. And he's got his move, so everybody's happy there. But generally speaking, yeah, see the guys that don't want to be here, let's move them on.
Absolutely. Boud, who are you most looking forward to seeing? And are you in any way encouraged by the players that we have signed? I mean, three out of those five are going to be, what, first team players? You know, if you count Abada, there's still a long way to go because I think we all said there should be double figures coming in. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, I mean, the players, as you say, the players we've signed have been exciting. For Hashi, it'd be fantastic to see him. Abada, as you said, looked maybe a little bit raw, but absolutely looked fantastic, looked direct, got a goal. And Starfield's a fantastic name, and he's a centre back, which we need. So we're all happy with that. But we need more. We need more. If Ayer was staying, we needed another centre back. So with him going, Starfield isn't enough. We need another centre back in, especially hearing that Julien's out for another couple of months. We need another kind of out and out forward or striker, I would say, as well, because when Eddie goes, that really just leaves a Yeti, as far as I'm concerned. And again, that's not enough. So we really need to look there. And it's great that we've got young players and we can maybe look at drawing on some of them, but we shouldn't be supplementing 3-4 positions in the team with 18-year-olds. That's, you know, unless they're exceptional talents, that's pushing it a little bit too far, I think, for our ambitions, whether it's domestically and winning the league and pushing forward in Europe. So some excitement about what we've brought in, but it's not nearly enough. And very importantly, it's also not been done soon enough. You know, these players all should have been here a long time ago. We knew with COVID there was going to be restrictions on getting people up to play the squad. We should have started on deals way long ago, which would have been easier if we had a manager a lot longer ago as well. So it all kind of falls back to just the feelings from the board and the executives.
Yeah, absolutely, and we would all agree with that. I mean, Ange himself has came out and said multiple times we need players yesterday and all that sort of thing, and he clearly is a bit frustrated by how slow it's been. And yeah, the COVID card is getting played a lot so far, but you know, Eddie, we clearly need to get our act together and get more players in. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see the days of announcing 3 players in a day or something like that, but you would have
hoped... We're going to need that.
But you would have hoped, you know, we're days away from our first league game of the season, and, you know, we've brought in 3 first-team players when we probably need about 6 or 7. We need to get our act together, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if we... announce 3 players in a week, I guess, at this point. I think it is really worrying just because of the, you know, some things you hear about the dealings as far as, you know, a club approaching a club for a player, them having a certain set price and us trying to barter with them for that price, whether it's, and it's usually around like, you know, $1 million or a couple of $100,000, you know, like just if you want the player, go in and pay for him, you know, that's just how it's done. That's just how we're going to have to do it. So just go and do it. And I think that's really the most worrying part for me, is that we're kind of kicking the tires on a lot of players, but we're not really going in with intent. It's more so like, well, and that also worries me about hearing, you know, 5 or 6 players that we're linked with, you know, not necessarily that we won't sign any of those players, but hearing like the amount of players that we're supposedly linked with, that just means like, you know, it could mean that we're literally just kicking tires all over Europe. Just, you know, hey, you know, how about you? Where are you at now? Where are you at now? And then we're going to sit here for the next couple of weeks when the season starts on Saturday. And how many of those players are we actually going to sign? So I think that to me is frightening, really.
It's the emotional toll as well, Eddie. I've been entirely bought in on about 6 right backs at this point.
Yep.
Just get somebody in. I can't keep on doing it. Can't keep on learning about these guys, deciding they're the best right back in the world, and then just throwing them away the next day.
Yeah, it's tough.
I've got a catchphrase for you, Bud. Where's my right back? I know, we need sound effects here. First one of the season. Right. So, Manny, I'm going to come back to you for the first. We're going to try and very quickly make our way through the squad. First up, Barkas, stick or twist?
Away. Bin. Get rid. He cannot be turned around. I don't care if he's got attributes at his feet, as people are saying, or, you know, catching the ball or stuff like that. When it comes to stopping the ball going in the net, he is shit. He needs to go. Scott Bain's better than him, and Scott Bain isn't good enough. I will not change my mind in this one.
Here's where I disagree with you, and I'm not going to. Just to be clear, I'm not defending Barkas. Barkas is a fucking mess. But there's a couple of points. Last season, I'd say write it off. Clean slate for everybody. Christie, Barkas, give them all a chance. We've had one competitive game. Now, it's a fucking mess, but it's being better than him. It's being really better than him, Sir Manny. I don't know about that. My thoughts are, if somebody comes in with a few million quid, I can get him punted. But see if we're going to have to give him away for free to fucking AAK or something like that. Why bother? Keep him as your number two. Buy a new goalkeeper as your number one. Because we can't keep on going with Bain. Bain's done. Bain's a fucking waste.
No, no, I was merely using Bain as an illustration of how shite Barkas is. And neither of them have any attributes that I would have for a Celtic goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And the money Barkas will be on, given his transfer fee, you're thinking, give him back to AAK Athens. Just...
I can see us giving them back either on a year's loan where it's paying 95% of his wages, or just, you know, as I say, selling them for 100,000 back to them or something stupid. That just seems pointless to me. Just, I suppose the big problem is if you're going to keep him and you're going to try to improve him, he needs to learn to literally save the ball. He needs to learn to be a goalkeeper, which is really, you expect that at a minimum.
I mean, you can't.
The voice of reason.
You can't expect a guy who literally, when he came in, his first interview said that he prefers playing left back.
And we've not tried him then.
I mean, well, that's what I said at this point. I mean, you might as well, because he's probably better at everything else besides, like you said, actually being a goalkeeper. So, I mean, why the heck not? But I was a defender of him for a while, and I still would, but it's not worth it. I think at this point, the hope is not worth it. You have to get rid of him. You have to do something with him, and you have to bring in a goalkeeper. That's it.
Yeah, I think he should be number two. I think I wouldn't play this silly Bain ahead of him, but I think you bring a new goalkeeper in, you bring a new number one in. It's just how far up the list of priorities it will be. I think that's the thing.
I think it's pretty high. Oh, aye, definitely.
Definitely after the last game, I believe that. But also at the same time, I don't want to do what we did last season as well. Bark-ass Bain,
no.
Hazard, Bain. I don't want to do that. Just bring in a number one keeper and just leave it at that.
The problem is, if you keep those two, unless there's some huge unprecedented improvement in them, they're going to cost us points in the league, and they're going to cost us games in, whether it's knockout games in Europe or in cups. We're going to go out of competitions because of our goalkeeper. For me, it's huge.
So, Manny, I'm going to come to you for the fullbacks. I think fullbacks are clearly going to be very important to how Ange plays and his system, as it is for most clubs these days. Where, you know, the tagline I said earlier, we're desperate for a right back. Anthony Ralston's the only one we've got. We've given him a new contract because we just needed to have someone on the books by the looks of it. But we're not going to sit here and bash him, because, you know, enough podcasts have done that. We clearly need one. We've been linked with three today. We're apparently close to signing the Portuguese fullback, Buta. How many fullbacks do you think we need, both obviously right and left, and what about Bolingoli's future? I thought he might actually be more suited, because he's the type of fullback, I think when he first came in, he was drifting inside, like he was kind of coming inside the middle and trying to link up play. Anyway, I kind of thought when Ange started this that he might be a more natural fit for Ange, but he's not really had the game time. Do you think he's got a future as well?
I don't think any of the fullbacks at the club are the level required. I mean, it's dead easy to do this, to regress two, three years. When you think at left back we had Tierney, and then at right back we had Lustig. Okay, Lustig was maybe not at the peak of his form, but you still had Lustig there. And then if we're going back again to goalkeeper, you know, we had Gordon and Foster, who were miles in front of either of these guys. So it's difficult not to look back. But what I really don't want to do is to start to see guys like Bolingoli, who I genuinely don't think is good enough, will do. Is right back more of a pressing priority? I think so, yeah. But that's not to say that left back's not a pressing priority as well. For me, with Bolingoli, I just don't think he's good enough. He's never really impressed me. Would I take a kind of give him a run of game sort of thing over Taylor to see how he does? Based on what we've got, give it a go, but I wouldn't have any confidence in him becoming an important player for us.
The thing about ball and goalie as well, unless there's fitness or injury issues here, he's not really... did he get like a half during the pre-season friendlies? So that says to me, has he... is because obviously Ange's kind of said, if you don't want to be here, I'm not going to waste my time on you. So has ball and goalie had that conversation? Has he said, look, boss, I want to get out of here as soon as I can? That's that's at least what's in my head about why he's not getting the chance, because... as you say, I mean, he's a, whether you think he's good enough for Celtic, he's a decent, competent left back. So you'd think he'd be getting a shot if he was.
I agree, but that's what came out of my head. I thought maybe he's been one of the ones that said he just doesn't want to be here after everything that happened. And if that's true, fair enough. But I think Solani's right. We don't really have the fullbacks that we require, but we're not realistically going to sign four, I don't think, although being linked with three right backs today. Hopefully, if we can get two or three in, that'd be good, but we'll need to wait and see. Boud, I'll come to you for centre half, since you like a centre half yourself, of course. Do we need to sign more due to Julien's injury? It was mentioned earlier, but he's out for another couple of months. Obviously, I think you'd said earlier we needed one before Aya left. We've got Starfield as a replacement. How many centre-halves do we need? And how much game time do you think the likes of Welsh, Murray, Beaton should be getting this season?
We absolutely need at least one centre-back again. I'd probably be happy with two, but I think that's getting a bit greedy. But yeah, I mean, right now, Starfield, great, hopefully. Welsh, as I say, I'm happy with Welsh's progression. I think he's necessarily going to be the quality we need, maybe not, but we do need to at least give opportunities to youngsters, and Welsh has, by my mind, done really well when we've desperately needed him. He stepped up and he's done a job. Julien, who I think is fantastic, but not only do we have a couple of months without him, what players are he going to be when he comes back? You know, that's clearly a very serious couple of injuries he's had. Wasn't super pacey before he had them. There's going to be question marks. Is he going to be I've just forgotten his name, but is he going to be Big Yozo? Is he going to be made of glass and going to be getting these injuries constantly? So for me, I don't want to see Beaton, frankly. I don't, it's maybe a bit of recency bias with that red card, but also just, he's been in and about the squad for a very long time now. He's past his best. He's never really been a centre-back for me. That is his position. He's played way more games there now than midfield, but he's just not a fantastic centre-back for me. Eddie?
I'm actually looking forward to seeing Starfield alongside Welsh. I do think Welsh looking, a little bit more calm and confident, maybe playing aside somebody like Starfield might, bring him to that next level. I do agree that maybe he isn't, the center back of our future. But I do think he's getting even more solid, I guess, that I'm seeing now. So I don't know. I would like two on top of Starfelt.
For me, you want four center backs plus then that's after them, you've then maybe got your Dane Murray's pushing to get in. But if you're playing two centre-backs, you want four solid first choices. Welsh, Starfield, Julien, and Ianover.
Ideally, you would want definitely Murray, but ideally you'd want Welsh to have a season elsewhere, playing week in, week out with another club to kind of try and bring him along. Given that we're probably not going to get the two that you're looking for, Eddie, I think Welsh has definitely earned the right to be in and about the squad. Guys like Murray, it's not fair. It's too soon. Yeah. As much as he kind of impressed when he came on against Michelund, unless he is an exceptional talent that shines through, you really need to give them that bed and in season elsewhere. We've seen what it done for Ayer when he went to Kilmarnock. It's good, positive business to do that, and Murray's a guy that I think we should do that. Welsh, I don't think we're going to be able to afford that luxury, although it would be good for his development. But I tend to agree with you, Eddie. I think that I'm not 100% convinced I've said that, but he's shown enough to, to give him that, to roll the dice and see how he does.
He's earned that.
He's earned that.
Urigidi as well. I don't think any of us think he's there. A lot of potential there, but again, he needs a a lot of game time, I think, before he's getting near it.
To move on to a man who has been talked about earlier on, Ryan Christie. Very quickly, just, you know, he's, we kind of, whether he's come out and said it kind of bluntly or not, we all are under the impression that he wants to leave, or at least has wanted to leave for a while. Very quickly, would you try and convince him to stay by offering him a new deal or something like that? Obviously, he's coming to the end of his deal. Do you offer him a new deal, try and convince him to stay, or would you sell him now because you know he wants away? Eddie?
I would 100% at this point offer him a new deal. This coming from a person who literally wanted nothing more than to fire him into space last season. But, you know, he has shown that he seems more calm, filled with intent and patience, where he would have, you know, rocketed a shot, you know, into the upper stance. So I definitely think that we should offer him a new contract, and we're going to need a big season from him because, you know, he's one of the senior players, and I don't think we could afford to lose another senior player.
I would rocket to space or a new big check.
No, I would offer him a deal. If he's not going to extend, then I would just try to get rid of him. There's no point, I think, holding on to him for the season and then losing him for nothing. But as I said, I think the improvement we've seen under Ange, the fact, you know, Sir Manny mentioned, you go back, you forget last season, Christie was an incredible player, a huge amount of potential, and seems well suited to what Ange wants to do. So, yeah, if you can convince him to add a couple of years on his contract, I'm all for it. If he doesn't want it, we were never interested in getting to fuck.
Excellent. So, Manny?
Ball's in his court. If he wants to stay and knuckle down, then I wouldn't be disappointed if we offered him a contract.
Condition, if he does stay, somebody does need to witness him in the voting booth any time there is a general election in the...
Confirm.
Wow.
I'll be still be honest with you. I wouldn't lose any sleep if he'd left, though, because there's still a bitter taste in my mouth from last.
Who's coming in, though? Who's?
Don't you worry about that, Eddie boy.
Heavy amazing people, Eddie. Don't worry about that. Speaking from one Eddie to another, Edward. You know, obviously, there's this Brighton bid, which, you know, some sections of the media are saying is bullshit and isn't actually real and all this sort of stuff. Eddie, would you keep Eddie and sell or lose him for nothing at the end of the season? Or do you think we should just get rid of him now?
Honestly, I think it's similar to what Sir Manny said about Christie. I think it's in his court. I think if we get a fee, which I think before I read that today, I was under the impression that I would keep him. Purely because I didn't think anyone would pay the fee. But if Brighton are really going to pay that fee with a supposed 15% sell-on or whatever it is, I would take it. My only worry is replacing him and replacing him with someone of, you know, a similar age. You know, you're not going to make a like-for-like replacement for Eddie. You're just not going to. It's going to be somewhat of a project or a punt, but I think you need to get somebody in or two players in to kind of replace that, not only for goals, but just, you know, for the future as well. So I think, as quick as that could happen, if that is real, I think we should snap it up and just, you know, send him on his way. Best wishes.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you try and get as much money for him as you can. I don't think we can trust that Eddie is going to give us his full potential for the season if he stays anyway, because he didn't last year. So I think if that 18.5 million bid is true with a sell-on fee and maybe some other money coming further down the line, I think that's great. I think you take it and move on, get it reinvested in the squad. We're kind of pushed for time tonight. We need to stick to an hour, and we've got two massive games coming up this week, so I want to move on to them. We haven't mentioned Lee Griffiths, but you know what? Lee Griffiths is a wee dick. None of us like him. None of us want him here. You know, there was the reaction during the West Ham game. I just don't think we should waste any time on him just now. I think there's more important things to talk about.
Panel's unanimous. He shouldn't be in the club. End of.
Absolutely. The other thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about, which is the fans back at the games. Bowed, Somani, have you been back yet? you have. I was going to say, you know, what's it been like? Hopefully, as we go on for the weeklies to come, we can talk a wee bit more about it, because I think it was said today that we're going to get, is it the second to the first league game at home? We're going to have 24,000, 24,500. So we'll come back to that as the weeks go on. So on to tomorrow night. The second leg against Midtjylland over in Denmark. This is obviously to get us into the next round of the Champions League qualifiers. If we can get through this one, we would have the kind of parachute into the group stage of the Europa League. So it's a massive game, massive tie. So Manny, I'll start with you. How do you think the first leg went? What was your kind of takeaways from the first leg, and how do you think Ange handled his first competitive game?
I was happy enough with the first leg, given what the potential fears were. But at the same time, given the standard of the opposition, because Midtjylland are definitely in transition in terms of the caliber of player that they've lost as well, I think that we could have and probably needed to take more out of that first leg. I think the intervening game against West Ham, despite it being a friendly, maybe brings home the stark reality of the calibre of our defence. Whereas after the game, even though it was one each, I still thought we've got a chance of doing something over there. I'm less confident of that now after that game. So I wasn't, at the time I was fairly surprised, but there was that nagging doubt that we really needed to kind of grasp the nettle a bit, and we didn't. So when it comes to tomorrow, I'm not as confident as I might have been last Tuesday.
I was quite impressed with how we started that. We kind of had a slow start. Okay, maybe 15, 20 minutes in, we started to really play some good football, I thought, in that game. I was surprised by how Ange had managed to really communicate his ideas, I think, essentially. We could see what we were trying to do, which was good. I think we looked, obviously, a bit fragile at the back and a bit open at times, but I was impressed. I thought, you know, some of the players, the likes of obviously Abada, got the goal and things like that. I thought he was impressive at points. And, you know, we just looked as if we were a team that were going to play some attractive football again, which was, you know, very welcomed after the debacle of last season, Bud.
I think as well, when you go down to 10 men and we, you know, we played well, you know, we kept it together, I think that really kind of started to make you feel a bit more confident. And when they went down to 10, I think the idea in my head was, wow, we're actually going to get a result here because we played so well with the 10, but obviously it wasn't going to be.
But going into tomorrow, you know, I really felt like that team were there for the taking. We should have won that game. If that game had came a couple of weeks further down the line, we would have won that game quite comfortably. My overriding feeling for tomorrow is actually, I'm quite confident. I think we're going to win this. Is it, Eddie, is that, can you get on board?
Well, I think half and half, really. I think the addition of Starfelt, Starfelt's in for the weekend, yeah. Right? He's not going to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
But then can I just say something quickly? Sorry, but how much of your hesitation about how confident you feel for tomorrow is based off of the West Ham game? I mean, I feel as if that one friendly sandwich in between has kind of taken away the momentum that we maybe had.
I mean, it's a different team that we're playing, obviously. So I do think that factors in. And I would say that going off the feeling of the first game or after the first game, I do feel confident. Also, after seeing the West Ham game, I think as well, it's, you know, they might learn things from that as well. You know, Michelin might see things as well and change up how they play. So I think, you know, ultimately they're a bunch of absolute dirty pricks. So I think we can't fall into any of those traps like we did. But I do think I'm about 50-50 on it, to be honest. I think we definitely should have gotten more out of the first game. I think even just like Baud was saying, when we went down to 10 men, you know, actually having a plan for that is something new for us, I guess, given the last couple of seasons or last year in particular. But yeah, I am confident that we can get a result. But yeah, there's still lingering doubts.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, Ange's first time away in Europe. You know, we talk a lot about the away ties in Europe and whether managers will change their approach, be a wee bit more pragmatic, things like that. Obviously, we don't have the away goals rule anymore in this competition, so that's kind of factored in as well. I'm just going to read out the team, Bowd, quickly before you come in, and you can maybe tell me about what changes you think you might see. Barkas was in goals. We had Ralston, Welsh, Beaton and Taylor. Obviously, Beaton got the red card, the prick, so he's going to be out. Turnbull, Sorrow, McGregor, Abada, Eddie and Christie. Do you see any changes other than the obvious one with Beaton? Obviously, Murray will be the one, I would imagine, Bowd.
Yeah, Murray definitely in for Beaton, I would say, from what we've seen. I very much get the feeling Ange is not 100% nailed on or confident in Barkas. So I think that's, if we're going to see a wee surprise addition that could be being in for Barkas.
Can I throw another name out there? What about James Forrest?
That's exactly what I was coming to. It's like you're reading my mind, Louis. And that's
that's energy we like in the weekly bout.
Yeah. For my own lineup and for Ange's, I could see Forrest come in, and I think because Abada, as we all agreed, did fantastically well. But if Forrest is getting to that point where he's fully fit, we know he can do it in big games and important games. And do you start Forrest and then Abada coming on when the legs are a bit more tired? Is that the game plan?
Say throw him on the left, and then I think the conversation becomes Christie and Turnbull, I think, as well. Which maybe I might put Christie above Turnbull right now. Not on corners or any type of set pieces.
I think quite a few people I've seen that talked about on Twitter as well. People would put Christie ahead of Turnbull.
It's not easy.
For the Hashi comes in, that's a big question as well, because Christie has been a standout and he's the natural one to get dropped when Kyogo comes in. So, yeah.
Let's go for predictions. So, Manny, what's your prediction for tomorrow night? Come on, give us a score.
Michelin 1, Celtic 1.
Oof. Then what happens?
Extra time.
Tell me more.
No further goals.
Oh, shit. Jesus.
Stu enters the chat.
Wait a minute. This is opening up for a hero to be born, Sir Manny. Is that what you're telling me is going to happen?
Penalty shootout.
We don't have the time for this, Sir Manny.
Celtic to win the penalty shootout 1-0. Ryan Christie is the only one who gets a penalty on target. Micheland failed to convert all of theirs.
Arcas saves 5 penalties. New legend is born.
Taking the prediction segment very
we get disqualified very seriously. It turns out we've taped a picture of Barkas to a traffic cone, and it's made
you're
more sense than the real goal.
Such a dick. Eddie, give us a score, please.
Just a very simple 1-0 Celtic.
Lovely. Bowd.
3-2 Celtic.
3-2. I'm gonna go 3-1. There we go, 3-1. Listen, that brings us on to the game of the weekend. It's the first league game of the season. I woke up this morning and I was seriously kind of ready for this league season to start. I really want to go and fucking get that title back. Hearts, you know, Hearts away at Tynecastle for the first game of the league season. How do you feel about the start of the season, Somani? How, you know, what's your overriding emotion of it? Are you pumped up for it, or have you got a lot of trepidation?
Got trepidation, but I'm looking forward to the football being back. I mean, you know, you can talk all the shite, and there's so many people out there before this season said they weren't renewed. Most of us did. I certainly did. Going to see Celtic is something that I love, and I'm really looking. Even fans being back in the stadium is just something else. So I'm really looking forward to it. I am a bit wary about what might happen. I've got a feeling that as we build the squad up, and remember, there's a long time left in this transfer window, so it might be that we get some of these players in a month from now, that we might have a few hiccups at the start of it. And I think that, you know, some of these games might be high scoring. I think games that we do win might be, you know, kind of VHS video classics, cup final classics, where you win games 5-4 and things like that. I get that impression. So I think at the start it might be a bit edgy, but I think we'll grow into it. I think we'll get enough of the players by the end of the window that we're going to be competitive this season. I wouldn't go as far to say at this moment that I think that we're capable of winning the league back, just because as the squad stands, we're not. But, you know, ask me at the end of the transfer window if I think that or not. But I'm looking forward to it again. This is what it's all about. You know, last season was terrible, but it doesn't kind of dull your love for the club and wanting to kind of see the league back. So let's bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I can't wait. I mean, I think the Tynecastle fixture is a great fixture to start with. I mean, if you can't get up for this, if we can't really get going, fair enough, okay, we don't maybe have all the players that we need, but as you say, Somani, hopefully we'll get them by the end of the window. But, you know, I want a season of nutmegs and broken legs. That's what I'm going for this year. Bowdy, what's your emotion of it? What's your prediction for how it's going to go?
Not just
the end result, but you know, we forget that there's a January transfer window as well. There's cup competition. You know, it's a long season ahead.
Yeah, no, but very much you guys have said excited, but trepidation. Away to the smelly farts isn't the easiest tie to start us with. But as you said, it's a great one to get it going. For the season, we're gonna fucking walk it. Not a problem. Treble, invincible treble. You heard it here first. We just need to buy 6 first team players. But I'm excited. I'm excited as long as we see some high quality players come in. And it does. We need 2 right backs. We need at least 1 left back. We need a goalkeeper. These are all players that it wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't make us better. We need them. Right now, we don't have, frankly, any of these players.
Eddie, will we take that fucking title back, won't we?
it's hard to disagree right now at this moment, but I'm with Sir Manny. I think, you know, right now you can't. It's impossible to kind of know. Things are still coming together, and it will take some time. But, you know, super excited just for the routine of watching Celtic every week. You know, that's what I love, and that's what I'm looking forward to most. So I think, you know, I'm just looking forward to that, but also, you know, some consistency, you know, the continued growth into how Ange wants us to play, you know, new heroes to be born. Looking forward to that as well. So
the game against Hearts at the weekend, obviously we've just went through a team there for the game tomorrow night. I think really, you know, in terms of changes that we might see in that team, Starfelt, obviously, it sounds like he's going to be in the squad potentially. Would you put him in? Would anybody throw him straight in? Because we've not got anybody else. But, you know, if for example, Welsh and Murray come through tomorrow night, they could play very well together. Would you stick with that because Starfelt's not had the time, obviously, here and in the team, or does he just go in, he's got the experience, he has to deal with it?
I start him. If I don't start him, he comes on and he scores from a corner. It's like Sinclair at Hearts. He's going to announce himself as a Celtic footballer. I've got high hopes about Starfelt, and I think he'll score at Tynecastle.
Yeah, I don't want a Julien situation. I want him right in. Right in, right out of the hotel, right in there.
Bowdy?
Aye. Get him right in there. That, score would be great. Break a leg, whatever. Just get in there, have an impact.
The opponents.
Yeah. Not his or finding Julien, just making sure he's fucking
part. That's what I'm saying. Nutmegs and broken legs. That's my first catchphrase of the season. That's what I want. Listen, predictions for the season. You've all said that it's kind of too early to tell whether we're seriously going to win the league. I thought I'd give you another one. Who do you think, before we finish, player of the season? Very quickly, just give me a name because we need to wrap up. Sir Manny, player of the season.
Luke O'Connell.
Oh, you're such a dick. So sarky tonight. Eddie.
Starfelt. I'll go back.
Starfelt.
Yeah, I'm going to go big Starfelt.
You go Furuhashi.
Thurah Hash is going to be the greatest. I'm going with him as well. Listen, this has been obviously the first weekly episode back. It's been fantastic. It's been a great start. Hopefully, this is going to be a massive week for Celtic. Get through into the next round of the Champions League and then smash the fake Diddy Huns at the weekend. Start off the league season with 3 points. Eddie Walsh, it's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be here. Good to see you guys.
Bowdy.
Delighted to be here. Hello, hello.
And Christopher Solmani.
The pod of the people has returned.
The pod of the people is back. This has been the Cynic Weekly. I've been your host, Louis McCaffrey, and we will speak to you down the road.